A minute, I
Okay.
don't see Mr. Brooklyn.
Oh, waiting for Mr. Brooklyn? Okay.
Yes.
Oh, looks like he's coming on. Just say for the record, it's November 29th, 2023, 1 o'clock p.m. We're back on the Silverview MDNS and CUP appeal. Mr. Brooklyn has completed questioning of his witness, and we're now on to cross-examination, starting with Mr. Lin for Dr. Cook. So go ahead, Mr. Lin.
Actually, I'll be doing the cross today, Mr.
Oh,
Examiner.
okay, great. Go ahead,
Thanks.
Mr. Schutz.
Good afternoon, Ms. Cook. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you.
Okay, thank you. So in your direct, you provided a lengthy history of the wetland review for this project. And I just want to be clear. Your history was based on your review of the records, correct?
Correct.
You weren't present at any of those meetings that you referenced except for your own visit, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And it was just a single visit, is that accurate?
An 8-hour visit, yes.
So a single visit.
Correct.
You also talked a lot about your qualifications, and I just want to be clear. A PhD isn't required for doing a wetland delineation. Is that accurate?
That's accurate.
Okay. In fact, is it safe to say that most people who are doing delineations don't have a PhD?
No, unfortunately, they don't.
But you teach delineation to students. Your students go out in the world. They do delineations. Those delineations are accepted by cities and counties, by ecology, by de Department of, or sorry, the Army Corps of Engineers. That's accurate.
That's accurate.
And most of them won't have PhDs, correct?
Correct.
Okay. It's also not uncommon for there to be disagreements over a delineation. Would you agree with that?
Correct.
Okay. I mean, even within
Typically
firms.
not this there isn't such a large discrepancy. It's typically just a few feet here and there. This is a massive discrepancy.
Do you never, you've never, in your experience, you've never been involved where there was a disagreement as to delineation that included several thousand square feet?
No.
But there's disagreements do happen, as you said, even within firms and agencies, they occur fairly regularly.
Yes, they do occur fairly regularly.
Okay. Even though everyone's applying the same manuals.
Again, it depends. When we go out, the protocol says that it's a snapshot of the day that you've been out there. And the manual also states specifically the best times to do a delineation. And if you're out there at the suboptimal times, then that's your snapshot and it may not be as accurate.
Is March an optimal time, in your
No,
opinion? No, it's not. Why not?
because the vegetation hasn't begun to emerge. And in a pasture like this, almost none of the vegetation has emerged. So you have almost none of the vegetative indicators to go by.
So, was there a disagreement between the reviewers in this case as to vegetation?
Yes, and it was a very contentious. Oh, no, not according to vegetation. But Ms. Hennessy did identify in both of her reports that the two site visits with the developer's consultant, SVC, was during a time when the vegetation had not matured, and that Mr. DeCaro had misidentified one of the dominant species. So he even when he did identify species, he misidentified it.
But if there's not a dispute as to wetland vegetation, then that doesn't matter, does it?
That, it does matter because that is one of the three criteria, and one would have to assume that that was one of the reasons that the wetland was so small.
Well, but in this case, they are not disagreeing with the wetland vegetation. In fact, they just didn't disagree with ecology's wetland vegetation analysis, correct? That wasn't one of the criteria in which they disagreed, correct?
Not in the field visits, no.
Okay, or in their report.
Which report would that be? I'm sorry.
Either Scholes or Soundview.
No, they didn't disagree. Other than Ms. Hennessy did identify that in a couple of the upland plots, Mr. DeCaro had identified a different fescue that is not a wetland plant, and the one that is on site, that had he correctly identified it, is a wetland plant. So some of his upland plots would have been had wetland plant criteria.
But would you agree that the dispute in this case centers on wetland soils?
Soils and hydrology. Yes, yeah. I would agree with that.
Okay. And is March an okay time to analyze and review hydric soils?
No.
Why not?
Because the oxidized rhizospheres, which is one of the hydrology criteria, but in actual fact, we actually use it as a soil criteria, is not present. And what those are is during the growing season, which March is not, the plant's roots exude oxygen as part of their growing, and that oxygen hits the water in the soil column and precipitates the dissolved iron in that as a rusty layer on the outside of the root, and that's not present during the winter. So that is one of the indicators that we use a lot in delineation, and that is not present in March.
So you disagree with Diane Hennessy's analysis that March is an optimal time to do?
No, she didn't say it was an optimal time. She said that in order to look at the hydrology criteria, which Mr. DeCaro and Mr. Spoles said was not to be considered because it had just rained, that you needed to have at least 14 days during the growing season, and that March is the very beginning of the growing season. So that's why they met again the second time in May. But no, March is not a good time. It's not a good time. Because a lot of the indicators that we look for, especially the most common ones, are not present during March. That is the very earliest I would ever go out. And I'm a really good, what I call morgue botanist. And I can tell a lot of the species. And then even still, I can go out in April and the skunk cabbages have come out that were not even present, and I can see them on the outside of my boundaries. So I tell clients I don't like to do it until April or May.
But we just talked about how vegetation doesn't matter in this case because it's not in dispute, correct?
Oh, I disagree. Excuse me. If the vegetation isn't present and or you can't identify it, you're not going to even look at that criteria. That was the first thing that everyone just assumed, and they were missing it. So it wasn't discussed, but it was certainly used by everyone who was standing out there in that field.
But it's not a dispute. It's not in dispute in that the SVC and Phil Scholes are not contesting that there's wetland vegetation.
Was not one of the contested issues, but I'm telling you, it played a role on that March visit.
Which March visit are you talking about?
The 2019 one, March 11th, when they all went out again.
Were you present at
that? The third time.
Were you present at that meeting?
No, I was not.
Okay. I'll get to that meeting in a little bit, but I just want to be clear for the examiner. I mean, ultimately, it's up to the agency to review and accept a delineation, correct?
Correct. Which agency are you referring to?
Well, in this case, it'd be Kitsap Community Development.
Right? How the hierarchy works with wetland boundary determinations is the Corps has ultimate jurisdiction, the Department of Ecology has secondary jurisdiction, and the local jurisdictions have third.
Okay,
so if an agency above a local jurisdiction has a determination, then they have precedence.
Okay, but Army Corps is not asserting jurisdiction here, correct?
No, it's not. So the DOE should have precedence.
And Ecology is not asserting independent jurisdiction here, correct?
They are not.
Okay. In fact, ecology's role here is just to provide a recommendation to the county, right?
They were asked by, actually, as I went over the notes over lunch, I hadn't been aware of this, but Mr. DeCaro actually asked the DOE to go out, not the county. So in this case, it wasn't a officially sanctioned request by the Department of Ecology to make a determination.
Can you point us to that document just so that we are aware of where it is in the record?
It is, wrong document. It is in Exhibit F5, pages 142 through, 157, 158.
Okay, can you point us a little more particularly in that range?
Yes, there is a email between Mr. Burkhar and Mr. DeCaro on March 26th.
And what page is that, please?
I will look it up right now. March 20. Sorry, there's a lot of emails in this string. March 25th, and they're not sequential. March 18th, March 25th. I'll find it, hold on. March 11th, here we go. It's page 147.
This is 147 of what now? Which exhibit?
Exhibit F5.
Five, okay, thank you.
And this was all in the previous 2020 record. This was part of the long and contentious email chain that I deferred to from my October 2020 report, where Mr. Burkhar, it's emails back and forth between Mr. DeCaro, Mr. Hecock at the county, Mr. Burkhar being the manager at the Department of Ecology, Ms. Hennessy. And it discusses a series of bullying episodes that occurred in the field, and Ms. Hennessy, both disagreements about what happened at the field and disagreements internally at Department of Ecology after Mr. Burkhar accepted the delineation that happened on the March 11th field visit.
So just to be clear, I don't have that as my F5-147. I have the email from Joe Burkhar accepting the 355 delineation to Matt DeCaro.
That's the exhibit number I have on mine. So Mr. Brickland, or I see Ms. Clungeon's not on anymore, but.
That's okay. I'll move past anyway. I don't think it really matters. I mean, ultimately, ecology, like you said, wasn't asserting independent jurisdiction. They were providing a recommendation. You know, the county can accept that recommendation or not, correct?
I think it depends on, well, typically they don't. I mean, typically they do accept the recommendations. I'm just not sure it's a gray area, considering that very oddly, Mr. DeCaro asked the Department of Ecology to go out. And I don't know if the county also considered themselves as being one of those requestees.
Well, I think in F8, Ecology makes it really clear, don't they? That they say that Mr. Burkhar talks about Ecology's role in technical assistance. I'll just read real quick. I would also like to reiterate that Ecology's role in this particular case stems from a request from Kitsap County for technical assistance. Is that clear? Things? Okay.
Yeah, that clears it up. Then, because they requested technical assistance and it was provided in 2018, then they should have jurisdiction over the county.
Wait,
as technical assistance,
Ecology would have jurisdiction over the county?
Yes.
Even if it's they're providing a recommendation and they're not asserting independent review under the.
They're requesting technical assistance, and if that is supplied, then they're their call should take precedence over the county call. And the county did not perform a delineation. A developer's contractor did. So
I think you said that the county did not, the county normally accepts Ecology's recommendation, but in this case, they did not. Is that accurate as to your testimony?
That's accurate.
Okay. But the county ultimately did accept the 355 delineation from Ecology. True?
The only person at Ecology that accepted that 355 was Mr. Burkhar.
And Mr. Burkhar, what's his role again?
He's the manager of the wetlands section in the Bellevue office.
Would that be Ms. Hennessy's boss, essentially?
That's her boss, yes.
Okay. And it would be his role then, wouldn't it, to his role and his authority to make a final determination as to a recommendation to a county?
Yes, and Ms. Hennessy states that, but she also states in emails back and forth between Mr. Burkhar after the site visit on March 11th that she disagrees, and she tried to explain to him about the technical issues and why she disagreed with him. And all of this was in the record that the county staff saw, and all of this was presented in the 2020 hearing. And I have to believe it played a part in why the hearing examiner remanded the county and the developer's consultant to go back and redelineate the wetland.
You're speculating as to the hearing examiner.
I am speculating, but it's pretty clear in the email chain that, and again, I go through all that because I was frankly quite shocked at the clear harassment and bullying that was stated in on Mr. DeCaro's part and Mr. Skoll's part, both in the field against Ms. Hennessy, and in the tribal emails from Allison O'Sullivan, where Mr. DeCaro just showed up at her office unannounced and tried to get her to withdraw her statements that she felt there was more wetland. So it's all in the record, and the county was at the hearing and heard it all and saw it all in the record, and they still decided to go to the politics instead of the science. And the hearing examiner was very clear that she remanded it back to get an accurate scientific wetland boundary assessment rather than what was clearly comes through all the email chain as a political decision.
Okay, and the political decision, I mean, that's your phrasing, right? That doesn't come through, that's not in any of the documents.
Nope, that's not in any of the documents.
That's your opinion as to...
That's my opinion.
Okay. And you talk about that correspondence in the record, but it's a bit more complicated, isn't it? Let me ask you this. It's not uncommon for staff to disagree with a final decision, is it?
A final decision.
Staff,
it is extremely uncommon. And I will tell you that shortly after this, Ms. Hennessy left the Department of Ecology. Because I won't go into details because it's hearsay, but.
Okay, but.
Yes, it is not common for your manager to not agree to you something that you determined as the technical person in the field for your manager to not back you up and not have your back. It's not okay. Common at all.
So, but a couple of things. One, you were not involved in any conversation between Ms. Hennessy and her boss.
I was not. I'm going purely on the email chain.
Okay. And you were not at the March 2019 meeting in which Ecology and the county and SVC and Mr. Skoll were on site and agreed on the 355 delineation.
March 11th. No, correct. I was not present.
Okay. I just want to raise for the hearing examiner that the record's not as clear as you're making it. It's a bit more complicated. For example, in the last correspondence before Ecology agreed as to the 355, or I shouldn't say agree, but sent.
Excuse me. Are you making closing argument in the middle of the examination?
Sorry, that was a long lead up. I'll pull up the document and then we can discuss and I'll ask specific questions.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't want to go too, and I mean, the hearing examiner can read through this. They speak for themselves, but I just want to highlight this. You see this top email from Diane Hennessy to Joe Burkar?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I do.
Okay. And that's March 24th. That's the day before Joe Burkar sent the email saying we agree with the 355 delineation we agree with the 355 delineation that was agreed to in the field on March 2019. Do you know if that's accurate as to the date?
Yes.
Okay. So this was the last correspondence between Diane Hennessy and Joe Burkar prior to Ecology sending that email, correct?
No. There was a March 25th email from her also.
There was. Is that one of the ones you're relying on?
Yes.
And that one she disagreed and sent?
Yes.
Where is that one in the record?
It's on page... And then there was one post his submittal of the letter to, and that letter was not to the county, it was to Mr. DeCaro. And there's a March 28th also email. So let's see, the one you're looking for. And there was also I have page numbers from an exhibit that evidently is not the current exhibits. So we'll have to get that to you. But on exhibit 5, it's on page. Sorry, I should have cross-referenced by date because there's so many of them. March 26th, March 18th, March 11th. March 15th, March 24th. Here we go. See, that's the March 24th from Diane, and then March 25th. That's 22nd. Sorry, they're not in chronological order. Here we go. It's on page 157 of Exhibit F5. And she... In the March 24th, she had alluded to the harassment and bullying in the field, and Mr. Burkar asked her to document all the previous emails. So on the March 25th, she goes through and submits all the previous emails.
Yeah, I had seen that, and I stand corrected. It wasn't the last email between her and Joe in the record, Joe Burkar, but that one doesn't talk about the delineation, correct?
No, it's relaying all the emails that she had in the record.
And so this was the last one between her and Joe Burkar prior to Ecology, about the delineation prior to Ecology sending the "we agree to the 355 email, correct?
Yeah, well, it wasn't quite as straight as that. Mr. Burkar said that, but then he went on to state that they had many disagreements with statements that were made by Mr. DeCaro about
right.
And what they agreed to.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
And that's at F8, and the hearing examiner can read that. The document speaks for itself. Here, I just wanted to point out that if you go down, if I scroll down, on March 22nd, Diane Hennessy sends an email to Joe Burkar saying, "Here's a proposed response for your consideration." And he writes back, "Thank you for getting started." On this response, "Happy to respond. However, I'm concerned with how you characterize the ecology manager's decision in the highlighted section below, which I am not willing to bring into the response and I believe is worthy of further internal discussion. I don't think this is an accurate characterization of the dialogue in the field, nor do I see the point in calling this a compromise. While I do see my role as ultimately responsible, this is not accurate and ignores a multitude of additional factors associated with our involvement with this project over the last year and a lack of clarity in our intended role in providing technical assistance." Did I read that accurately?
Yes, you did.
Okay. And then Diane writes back and says in the highlighted section, I added ecology manager because I thought it showed that our decision in the field held more weight. I presume that's the 355 delineation, if it came from the manager, but I see your point. To me, this is a little more gray than you made it out, but
I guess objection, argumentative.
All right.
I'll withdraw that.
Yeah, sustain.
Yeah. I guess I don't have a question except these are the documents that you were relying on to come to the determination that this was clear-cut disagreement and that she was just overruled, correct?
I also had numerous discussions with Ms. Hennessy post all of this, but that's hearsay, so I'm not allowed to discuss them.
Okay. I don't want to go into this anymore. You're right. I was edging into argumentative and these speak for themselves, but I just did want to at least bring these to the examiner's attention. I want to talk briefly about the 355 delineation, because I think you testified, let me stop sharing. I believe you testified that the 355 delineation was the applicant's delineation. Is that accurate?
It was what was agreed to at the March 11th, 2019 site visit.
Okay, between ecology and
their first delineation was no wetlands. Their second delineation was by Mr. Scholes, was 150 feet. And then they added another 250 or whatever, and it ended up being about 355.
That was the agreed delineation between ecology and SVC and Scholes and the county.
That was by Mr. Burkhard and SVC and the county, yes.
Right.
But did not include Ms. Hennessy nor Mr. Molstad, the soil scientist.
You weren't there at that meeting.
No, but she states it in her email that she did not agree. And she explained to Mr. Burkhard why it was important. And she also discusses the fact that Mr. DeCaro and Mr. Scholes overrode her every time she tried to discuss it in the field and made her look bad in front of her manager. And because he had no technical expertise, he agreed to that boundary in the field and didn't listen to her. And she discusses all this in these emails.
And ultimately, the last emails we saw was her being okay with it. Never mind. I won't withdraw that question. Thank you. To be clear, though, ultimately, the section head makes the decision, correct?
Yes.
The recommendation was made to the county, correct?
Correct.
And the county accepted that recommendation, correct?
Clearly.
I want to move to the new delineation issue following the hearing examiner's remand. First, as a professional, you wouldn't disregard prior work you or others had done if you were asked to do additional work, would you?
No.
Okay. I mean, you couldn't really, you can't unlearn what you've already learned, right?
Right. When I know there's previous work, I take that into consideration and I go out, which is what Ms. Hennessy did with their previous delineation. She went out and looked at both on site because nobody had mentioned the other wetlands till I saw them. But she went out and looked at their sampling stations and compared them to what her findings were.
So you wouldn't expect following the remand that the applicant's wetland specialist would disregard the work that was done prior?
No, I would not. Okay.
You said that, for there to be a delineation, there had to be additional site work and that none was done. Is that accurate?
That's right.
Accurate as to your testimony?
That's what they stated in their letter. They relied on aerial photograph interpretation because they had no access. I could read that statement from them.
I'm sorry. I'm not talking about the offsite issue. I'm talking about the new delineation required by the hearing examiner post remand.
Oh yeah, they went out and they did the five that weren't in the central area yet. The five the sampling stations that weren't in the central area. Yes.
So you're aware that there were multiple site visits following remand by the I'm
sorry about the dog.
That's okay.
The postman. So what happens when you do Zooms? The postman's delivering mail. Yes, I assume there were multiple site visits after the remand, but only one is discussed in the report.
And that you're talking about the southwest corner, correct?
Correct.
Okay. So are you aware that there were multiple site visits after remand to look at the central wetland?
No, there's no discussion of that in the record.
So you're not aware that those occurred?
No.
Okay. You wouldn't be aware then that the county was at these site visits or the third party reviewer, Radke?
Yeah, that's not in the record either. We specifically asked for those documents and there's no documentation in the record.
When you say you asked for the documents, what do you mean?
Ms. Clungeon did a request for documentation and the county provided nothing other than a single email. Okay. From the Radke staff person stating his qualifications and his surprise that there was no request for a report after he went out.
Well, I'll get to that, I guess, in a second. So you are aware that the county had a third party Radke do an independent review, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And that was done after remand.
Yes, but I have no idea on the details of it. I have no idea when he went out, et cetera.
But because it was after remand, all of the earlier studies would have been available.
Yes. That doesn't mean he read them, but they should have been available in the record, yes.
Right, okay. And Radke, they're a reputable firm, yeah?
Yes, I actually used to work for them.
Okay. So are you aware that, and again, this is not the southwest we're talking about, but the central wetland, that new pits were dug as part of the post-remand analysis?
I have no way of knowing that because okay. It's not in the record.
Obviously, you weren't present at any of these,
nope.
These things I'm talking about. Okay. Let's see. So before I leave... Radke, the email that you, was it an email that you remember seeing from Radke?
There was an email and then there was it was another document that had his qualifications.
Okay.
And that email, I don't know him in particular.
Mr. Examiner, that email is applicants exhibit 9.
Okay.
Thank you. For the record. And in that email, do you recall Radke? It was Colton Coasters.
Yes.
Working for Radke, correct? Okay. And do you recall in that email him saying that they don't normally provide reports to the county when asked for this type of review?
No, it's the other way around. They do normally supply reports when they're asked for this kind of review.
Let me try to share. Just want to make sure the record's clean on this.
I do these third-party reviews all the time. You always write an official, even if it's just a memo.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't have it here. Amanda, are you able to easily pull up applicants exhibit 9?
Let me take a look here. And then do you want me to scroll to a certain page or looks like there's 12 pages?
Oh, no, just the first page, please.
Okay.
Thank you. Could you read the first paragraph? You don't need to read out loud. Just read.
You want me to read it?
I'll just read. Sorry. I will. I won't make you do the work. Unlike other jurisdictions, all comments for Kitsap County are uploaded to the SmartGov software application, applied by the county for the applicant. That's why no review memorandum on reticule letterhead has been produced as part of this review. You see that?
Yes, I see that.
Okay. And then the second paragraph, if you could scroll down just a tiny bit, Amanda. He talks about an August 12, 21 site visit with the county and Soundview consultants, confirmed the on-site wetland A was accurately delineated. Wetland A, that's the 355 wetland, correct?
Wetland A has been designated as many different acreages, so I'd assume that they were referring to the 355.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So you're aware that the county did not just rely on Ecology's recommendation, but also on third-party reviewer Radke, which also agreed to the 355 delineation?
He's saying that he did, yes.
Okay. You can close that. Thank you, Amanda.
Point out he was again out in August, the driest month of the year.
Are you aware that if he only did one visit or if he did multiple visits after the remand?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Again, it's not in the record.
Let's move to the southwest corner.
And I also have no data sheets from him. So, you know, that's almost always supplied by third party reviewers. No data was supplied. Now, maybe it's what he uploaded, but it wasn't placed in the record for me to be able to review it.
On the southwest corner, you didn't do a delineation there, correct?
No, I did not. But I did find all three indicators present.
Soil, hydric soil.
There was hydric soil. There was hydrology, and the vegetation was also met the criteria.
But you didn't do an actual delineation.
No.
Okay.
But they didn't either. They didn't sample in that corner.
Well, DP9, you said, was in the corner, correct?
No, it was a little above, but it showed the vegetation and the hydrology. And again, they disagreed that the soil was in. Although if you look at the data sheet, the only thing that's missing is they didn't identify indicator A11. So I would have likely said that because it was so close to the color, et cetera, was so close to being in that I would have looked at the indicator A11. And Ms. Hennessy also identifies in her emails that if the hydrology is present for a sufficient amount of time, the manual also identifies that it's hydric soil, even if you don't have other indicators. So I would have called it hydric soil. So I would have said A9 was in.
If you had done a delineation, you may have come to a different,
yes,
different determination.
And I think had the Radke staff, who was a junior staff, I will note, and he also studied geography, he doesn't know soils or vegetation, had the more background, he might have also called it wetland. He certainly said that there were two indicators present, and he just said there wasn't soils.
Are you aware that Radke was present for that delineation?
Yes, he just said he was. In that email, he said he was.
Yes, correct. I think you mentioned that you thought that part of the problem was that do you know who did the delineation in the southwest corner?
Mr. DeCaro stated that he did in his report.
So you're unaware that it was done by Rachel Hyland, who's a professional wetland specialist?
Well, all of us are professional wetland specialists. It doesn't mean you're never mind. I won't say it. It was signed by Matt DeCaro. The report, I believe, was signed by Matt DeCaro.
Okay. Offsite wetlands, you didn't do any delineation there either, did you? What you're calling the offsite wetlands, you didn't do a delineation.
No, as I said, I did a couple of sample plots, but I didn't do a full delineation, but I found wetland along that edge. And I crashed into the blackberries and found wetland on the property and found wetlands in the corner.
That's the area where the driveway.
North of the driveway, yeah. And within the wall of blackberries.
But no delineation done.
No.
Okay. I think you said, just a couple more questions. I think you said that Phil Scholes applied the wrong or old version of the soil indicator manual.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what version he applied?
It would have been the previous one that had the definition at a set location in the soil profile and not anywhere within the top 12 to 18 inches.
And how do you know it would be that version?
No, I don't remember. I've probably got it on my bookshelf.
I'm sorry. How did you know? How do you know it's that version that he applied?
Because he wasn't applying. He specifically in the field, according to Ms. Hennessy, stated that it didn't meet the criteria because it wasn't in the right location. And she reminded him that according to the new in the 2018 updated manual, that it could be placed anywhere. And they argued about that.
So you're basing the presumption that he didn't apply the current manual on that interpretation.
They specifically argued about that point in the field, according to Ms. Hennessy. So
about how to apply A11, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And A12, yes. Yeah. And he neglected to identify the fact that if the hydrology is present, it automatically becomes wetland soils, even if there aren't any indicators.
Let me just check my notes. I guess just to wrap up, to be clear, ultimately the 355 delineation from the March 2019 was agreed on by most reviewers in this case, correct?
Yes, I would agree to that.
Okay, I don't have any other questions. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Gekas.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, Dr. Cook. You testified a couple weeks ago in the Arborwood case, is that right?
Yes.
And that was a case where part of your testimony was that the wetland P2 was actually part of a larger wetland. It was larger than the developer's experts determined it to be, correct?
Correct.
And then looking in Westlaw, I only found a few.
Well, actually, qualifier on that. I said it appeared to me, because I hadn't been out on the site, that it could be larger and that I thought it needed to be investigated because there was a lot of evidence that it was likely larger. That's a more accurate statement of what my testimony was.
Didn't you say that road that separates wetland P2 and the wetland to the west of it clearly lopped off wetland P2, and that wetland P2 was clearly part of the larger?
It was an old logging road that had been decommissioned decades ago, and had wetland conditions had restored themselves. And there was a culvert under it, but the culvert was at grade and there was wetland on either side of the culvert. So it was a completely different situation than this one. Yeah.
But there were also experts testifying about other wetlands on the site, and you mentioned the hydrospores as indicating that they were probably larger than had been determined as well, or hadn't, were still wetlands. And
I don't know what hydrospores are.
Rhizospores.
Oh, oxidized rhizospheres. That's a indicator for the presence of a wetland in a particular area. That doesn't indicate that your statement doesn't make sense. Sorry.
No, but the other experts that that had done the updated wetland delineations had determined there were no longer several of the wetlands were no longer present, And based on the evidence you saw, you believe they were, right?
Yeah, again, they were out at the inappropriate times of the year.
Right. And then looking in Westlaw for other cases where you were involved, I didn't see many that were mentioned in there. I saw Lynn Brothers Construction versus City of Bellingham. That was one where you were testifying that the wetland was actually larger than
I haven't ever done one with the Lynn Brothers in the City of Bellingham. That's up. Not me.
Let's see here.
I've only worked on one project in the City of Bellingham. And that was a 900-acre project.
Hey, give me 1 second. So Dr. Sarah Cook, who visited the site and concluded that the smaller wetlands, part of a larger connected system. You don't think this is you, this case?
Yeah, that's the large 900-acre system, yes.
Okay. So I guess what I'm getting at, and you've done many delineations in your career, thousands, is that right?
Correct.
But can you give me an idea? Can you give me any examples within the last 10 or even 15 years that I can look at where your conclusions are that the wetlands are actually smaller than what the other expert is saying they are? Just so that I don't get the idea that you're always concluding that the other expert is delineating it too small and that it should be larger.
Yeah, I can think of a couple. One in Snohomish County from probably 15 years ago for the B&I pit. It was a gravel mine where the wetlands had contracted as a result of mining activity. That one, they were smaller. Usually I do not testify if someone asks me to be an expert witness and I go out and I see there is no issue because I don't disagree with the delineation. So you never see that I testify because I self filter because I can't testify to the fact that there are more wetlands. There was another one about 8 years ago at the Snohomish County Airport. They were wanting to expand the runway and there were historic wetlands that I found were no longer present as a result of grading that had happened as part of a previous runway project. If they've reduced and they are no longer present, I find that. But typically people underestimate the size of wetlands. Because on the margins of wetlands, especially in areas that have been disturbed, the wetland criteria may not be as obvious as you walk in and your feet, you're standing in water. And that's what people want to see. And that's what the layperson recognizes. But that's not all that constitutes a wetland. And also understanding the ecological significance of the kinds of wetlands that you find in the pasture here. They're really important ecologically. I mean, the number of critters, birds, some voles, moles, mice, et cetera, maybe even some mid-sized mammals.
Can I rein in a little bit so we can just keep it going?
Okay, go ahead.
I don't mean to be rude, but
no, go ahead.
I just want to keep it moving along. And I don't have too much, but I'm not sure if this is the best exhibit. This is C3, the fifth photo that we're looking at here. And you mentioned some suspicion that there could be wetlands. And it, just to understand, this highlighted green area shows the southern border of the subject property. And you suspected there could be some wetlands offsite, correct?
Yes.
I don't recall if Mr. Schutz questioned you if you delineated those. And I don't remember if you said whether you delineated those. Did you delineate any of the suspected offsite wetlands?
No, I was only tasked to look at the actual property itself. I said earlier that the Mr. Matthews had shown a shallow aquifer drainage map, and it identified some wetland polygons that I assume he took off the GPS from the county, and that there were quite a few wetlands on Mr. Best's property and some of the other neighbors' property that we're showing in the inventory from the county.
And looking at the subject property, so this, the one that you did delineate is the wetland in the center here of the subject property.
That's pretty obviously darker. Yes, that's probably very close to the footprint of my wetland.
I remember seeing in the old exhibits from before, and it may have even been in the former hearings examiner's decision, there was some discussion about using an auger versus a spade. And in this case, when you delineated to take the soil samples, you used an auger. Is that correct?
I almost always use an auger. I seldom use a spade. It depends on the conditions.
Did you not agree before that a spade is, generally speaking, more accurate?
I abjectly reject that comment, and I did at the last hearing.
You did?
Yes. Yeah, it depends on the conditions. Augers, depending on the soil type, the mineralogy, the organic content, do not disturb the soil profile and are just as accurate. If you have a very dry, sandy soil, then a spade is better, but that's not what we had here.
Not just do not disturb, but I thought one of the reasons was because the spade gives you a larger sample.
Not if you go down. I have a 2-foot extension on my auger. We have many tools that we use in soil science, and you don't have to use a spade. And what's more, it's in the long run, it's more accurate to use an auger, because digging a single soil pit will take you 20 minutes to half an hour. You can do 15 augers and reach a much larger area. So you actually sample a larger area and do many more samples if you auger. It's a much quicker way of sampling the soils.
We'll have to go back and look at that.
We went through all that at the last hearing, and I abjectly refute that. Mr. DeCaro stated that, and it's incorrect.
Now, when you testified before about, at one point in your test, and I'm talking about this hearing earlier today, you'd mentioned that this project was proposing to fill wetlands. Is that, were you only saying that because you believe that wetland A here in the middle is bigger than the agreed upon subsequent determination, not because they're filling any of the 355 square feet, right?
No, they're just going to destroy it by what they're proposing, but no.
Okay.
They're going to grade and cover with asphalt the rest of the wetland area, whatever that may be.
You said something about potentially 4 wells relying on shallow aquifer. Do you have any personal knowledge that there is even a single well relying on the shallow aquifer rather than the artesian aquifer?
No, that came from Mr. Best.
Okay.
There's 4 people that have wells, and he stated that he was very worried, again, because the shallow aquifer can recharge the deeper aquifer. So that also plays into it. But no, that came from Mr. Best.
Well, did you listen to Mr. Matthews' testimony before you?
Yes, I did.
Where he said that the shallow aquifer does not recharge the deep aquifer?
In general, it likely doesn't, but we don't know. I mean, there's always areas that throughout that, especially in these glacial terrains where recharge occurs. So that's not a completely accurate statement.
Let me just ask, do you consider yourself an expert on hydrology?
No, I don't. I do have an undergraduate degree in geology, though.
In geology?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are you concerned? You mentioned your concerns about impacts on this estuary here. Are you also concerned? I mean, if these are the ones that have the wells, these three here, if they've got the on-site septic as well, do you think that poses a risk?
Yes.
And what about just natural occurrences, such as if there's beavers on Clear Creek, E. coli from the beavers, would that pose a risk to the water quality?
Likely, yes.
Okay, just wondering.
We can't control beaver, though, and the county can control development, so there's a difference there.
And then one of your comments, if I wrote this down correctly, was there will be no groundwater inputs from the property any longer to the shallow aquifer.
No, I didn't say that.
Or to the estuary. What did you say?
I said that since the property is going to be predominantly impervious, that all that recharge that is currently occurring is greatly reduced, and that it's going to be conveyed via surface water piping, and some of it is going to go to a completely different drainage, and some of it is going to be conveyed to the estuary by surface drainage rather than through the shallow and deeper aquifer. So no, I didn't say it. It's there's not going to be any, but there's still going to be some coming from the eastern edge and the surrounding areas. But again, when you're filling, grading, and putting buildings on things, the aquifer dives deeper. And so it's going to impact the amount and how much will actually end up in the estuary. There's no way around that. But I also said that since nobody had looked at those inputs and done the water budget before and after, that we just don't know how much that change is going to be. Is it a small percentage? Is it a large percentage? We don't know. And that was one of the things I was stating earlier was punted by the county to a later date. And I think that we need to know that now before this project is approved, because if it's approved and it ends up being a very large percentage of the input into the estuary, there could be a really large impact. If it's not, we'll know that if it's required to be done now. So I think that that's one of the questions that you cannot wait till the SDUP is, or whatever it's called, the permit is issued. You have to know that prior to the issuance of the permit.
So the main thing I wanted to get out of that, and it sounded like you gave it to me, is no, you didn't say that there will be no shallow water aquifer recharge from this site into the shallow aquifer. You just believe it'll be different than what it is now.
I'm looking at this plan you just posted, and there's a hell of a lot of impervious surface there. So there's not going to be much left. The northeast corner, or the north.
Well, say for example, I don't know if you understand this, but what it's intending to show is two different systems, where the rain that falls on the impervious surfaces will go into catch basins and go into this green path up to Button Hill, right? Yep. And then water that comes to the site from offsite underground, some of that will go into this pervious pipe and go into French drains, and should be clean water because it hasn't touched surfaces, and then go into this system and then south. Is that your understanding as well?
That's my understanding, yes.
But say, for example, I recall Mr. Methow responding to one of the examiner's questions about the depth of the shallow aquifer and saying, well, I don't know if he said it was up to 10 feet deep or if he just said, was using that as a hypothetical. But let's just say hypothetically, you've got a 10 foot depth. And let's say this perforated pipe here is only, I don't know, 12 or 18 inches or something. That's not going to capture 10 feet of offsite water flowing under, right? It's just 18 inches maybe that hits the perforated pipe might go into that system.
Well, you're not going to have much going into that system anyway, because the regional groundwater flows from the northeast to the southwest, and things aren't going to flow up grade even subterraneally. They're going to still flow to the southwest.
Right, but if they're flowing to the southwest, like from northeast here where my cursor is, some of it will go into this perforated pipe and may get routed into a different course. But if it's 10 feet thick, a lot of it is just going to go under it and continue on its normal course, right?
Other than the fact that it will dive deeper and still may not end up in the estuary. And plus you're capturing most of the aerial coverage of this site and shunting it to a completely different drainage. So
you're talking about
the green system.
The green system, right. Yeah. And this blue system is just mostly for the French drains to keep the water out of the buildings, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. I think Mr. Schitt's covered most of the rest of it. I'll stop for now. Thanks.
Okay. All right. Back to Mr. Bricklin. Any redirect?
Yes. Thank you. Dr. Cook, you were asked a bunch of questions early on about the evidence that was provided to the hearing examiner in 2020. Your ecology's investigation, the tribe, your own, and all that. Do you recall that cross-examination?
Yes.
Was that all of that evidence presented to the hearing examiner in 2020? Was there anything new in today's questions that
no
weren't provided to her?
No, she had all of that. And again, I outlined.
And then did... let me share my screen if I can. See how I do here. Tell me if you can see the hearing examiner's 2020 decision.
Not yet. There it is.
And can you see it, Dr. Cook?
Yes.
All right. And so looking at paragraph 14, where she's discussing the wetland testimony, and does she summarize it by saying ecology's position is unclear?
Yes.
See that?
Does
she then reference the evidence provided by the wetland scientist from ecology, Ms. Hennessy, who visited the site and wrote up her analysis and delineated a 3290 square foot wetland?
Yes.
And then does she indicate that she also heard evidence that that rather than adopting the scientist's analysis, ecology said it concurred with the applicant?
I see that.
Right. And so that was why she apparently stated ecology's position is unclear, right?
Yes.
And that's the same evidence that you were asked about today?
Yes.
And then in the next highlighting here, goes to a different subject. It says, Dr. Cook did not dispute the approach Ms. Hennessy took from ecology, though she noted the more advantageous time of year that she, Dr. Cook, was at the site. Is that a reference to the fact that Ms. Hennessy and you both came up with larger delineations than the applicant, but that yours and Ms. Hennessy's were not identical to one another?
I believe that's correct, yes.
All right. And so you were, so the first part of that where you say you don't dispute the approach Ms. Hennessy used, that's not referring to the final ecology position, but rather to their expert delineator's position that was a little bit different than your own. Is that right?
That's accurate. Yes.
And then the examiner references your testimony that there was no science to support ecology's final position. That would be the one from Mr. Burkhar, right?
Correct.
So all that, again, all of the testimony today that you were asked about on cross-examination, that was all testimony that was presented to the hearing examiner in 2020, and she concluded that a new delineation was going to be required, correct?
Correct.
And on another yellow highlighting on the next page, the paragraph that begins the applicant's consultants, that's where the examiner concluded or found that the applicant's consultants didn't have the advantages you had in terms of when you went out to the site and to be able to delineate the wetlands, correct?
Correct.
And was there any new evidence today that you were asked about during the cross-examination that was different than that?
No. He tried to underplay it, but no. It's really important the time of year you go out. Anyone who's ever done a delineation will, that's one thing we universally agree on now. I adamantly refuse to go out at inopportune times while other consultants do go out, but I don't think you get a correct answer. And I, after all these years, now actually refuse to go out unless it's the opportune time. And I lose a lot of work because of that.
So Dr. Cook, then going back to the issue about your delineation and Ms. Hennessy's delineation being both much larger than the applicant's, but not identical to one another, the examiner returns to that at the bottom of page 8 and says and finds that you delineated 8,523 square foot wetland and your testimony was credible. Do you see that?
Yes.
And a smaller delineation such as by Ms. Hennessy could be supportable. And you agree with that, right?
Yes.
She doesn't reference at this point Mr. Burkhar's acquiescence in the applicant's delineation, does she?
No.
And she concludes here that a new delineation is needed, which is scientifically supportable, correct?
Correct.
And in the cross-examination, were you presented any evidence by either of the lawyers asking you questions that a new delineation was prepared?
No. And it's not in the record either. I only see evidence that Radke visited the site with Mr. Caro, but there's no documentation of that other than those 5 data plots from the southwest corner.
Right. So with regard to the wetland in the middle of the site, no, for instance, no data sheets, no evidence of an actual delineation. True?
True.
Right. That's all I have. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dr. Cook. As usual, very well informed, and look forward to digging into those delineation manuals. So thanks again.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Berkland, next witness. Is that Mr. Leiter at this point?
Yes.
Okay.
Can we take a 2-minute break?
Yeah, or we, I mean, we're just almost to the, our 15 minute break. We can take that now and then get back into it. So 2:25 then, let's do that.
All right, thank you.
I just missed a little bit. Did we take a, we're taking a break?
Yes, yeah, 15 minute break.